All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 here this morning. I want to remind you again of these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Last week we started looking at the stronghold of addictions. Whether or not I had mentioned your addiction last week, you know, there's always times when we have to check to see if there's something that is controlling us. I want you to notice here again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I want for us to be reminded today that we're not talking about a program or whatever we're needing. This is something that is a thing of the mind. It's very important for us to remember that, because the world's programs like to say that it's a disease, that something that, you know, you have to, that it's physical, and in reality it's spiritual and it's in the mind. I want you to notice that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 once again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice here, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. So you notice here again the emphasis, the importance of understanding that this is a thing of the mind as far as a believer is concerned. Now, with that said, I want for us to consider the cycle of addictions. What cycle does a person go through as they're dealing with addictions? First of all, dependence. The lifestyle revolves around the addiction. Dependence. I need this. It's a dependency. Second part of this cycle is an obsession or a mental preoccupation with the addiction. Time, energy, and thoughts are focused on the addiction, not on Christ. Now, there's a very important aspect there. I want you to understand this. Our focus needs to be on Christ. Christ needs to be the preeminent one of even our thoughts. You notice here, as this addiction takes place in my life, there's a mental preoccupation with the addiction, not the Lord Jesus Christ. A third part of this cycle is emotional compulsion. I begin to crave the addiction. I have to have it. I need it. Number four is blame shifting. Notice with me, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Another part of this addiction cycle is blame shifting, blaming others for my addiction. Listen to me, Genesis chapter 3. And of course, this is the passage dealing with Adam and Eve and their sin, their rebellion against God's one prohibition, one command. Let's go look at the context here in the first few verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. All right, so there's doubt upon what God has said. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Notice the addition there. Anytime you begin dialoguing with the devil, there's going to be an addition to what the Bible says. For example, you know, how many times do we think that a saying like this is a part of the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. Where do you find that in the Bible? Those are little sayings that people think sound spiritual. Those are additions to the Scriptures. Notice here, verse 4 then, the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Notice the outright denial of God's word. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little Elohim, like God, knowing good and evil. Then notice here this temptation. This is, again, this is a part of the key to why we fall into temptation, why we fall into addictions as far as an application to this lesson. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Of course, the eyes of them were opened. Their conscience was activated. They had an awareness of their sin. It says in verse 8 then, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. I want you to notice here how these things affect our relationship with God. They're hiding from God. God is still trying to have a relationship with them, but they're now hiding from God. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, do you think God knew where Adam was? God knew. There's a lot of times when God does this so that we have to admit our own problem. So that we have to admit that we have an issue to deal with. Verse 10, and he said, notice this preoccupation with himself now. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? All right, so he's wanting Adam to admit what he's done. Verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me. Notice who he's blaming here. Not only is he blaming his wife, but he's also blaming God. You know, God, if you had never given her to me, then this would not be the issue today. Aren't we so quick to blame others for our own choices? Notice here, the woman whom thou gavest me, gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Now, could he have chosen not to? Absolutely. In fact, the New Testament says that Eve was deceived. Adam made a willful choice. That's why he plunged all of mankind into sin. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. The devil made me do it. You know, half the things or more that the devil is blamed for, in actuality, is our own doing. Most of the time, it's not the devil. I choose. You see, Adam was not deceived. He made a choice. So again, we see this blame shifting. You think about Ahab. Ahab led Israel into some bad decisions, some rebellion against God that led to great judgment from God. In fact, there was no rain for 3.5 years. What did Ahab say to Elijah? What did he call Elijah? You troubler of Israel. What was Ahab saying? Elijah, you've caused us a lot of problems. No, in reality, his rebellion against God's commands is what caused the problems. So again, this blame shifting that we often go through. Another cycle, part of this cycle of addiction is we become defensive about the addiction. We resist correction. Number 6 is denial. I don't have a problem. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a problem. Now, there's 2 ways we deal with addictions as far as denial. My addiction is not as bad as so-and-so's addiction. You know, after all, I'm not using drugs or anything. I want you to understand something. Rock music causes an addiction in our bodies. Basically, the rock beat runs counter to our heartbeat. And so what it does is it produces in us a high. Why is it you think that young people spend so much time listening to rock music? It produces in them a stimulant in their body. You think about pornography. Pornography has the same effect. It's the lure of the forbidden, even as we see in Genesis chapter 3. Those things produce a high effect in the body. So you notice here a comparison. My addiction is not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not a drug addict or anything. And yet, at the same time, we are still in bondage to something that God says not to be. Another way we deal with addictions and denial is that we're convinced that we can stop whenever we want to. I have heard people say, I'll quit smoking when I want to. I'll quit smoking when I have a child. The first child, the second child, the third child comes along and they're still smoking. That's the power of addiction. The denial process. I don't have a problem. Listen to the words of Isaiah 29, verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Nobody knows. Now, there's a lot of times when people say, my addiction is my problem. It only affects me. That's a lie. Even the issue of pornography. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that we defraud someone with fornication. Any relationship sexually outside of marriage is defrauding someone else. I want you to think about this. We are not just having an addiction to ourselves. Our addiction affects others, whether we want to admit it or not. That's denial. Then there's also depression. As we live in a sense of failure or whatever the case may be, you think about Genesis chapter 4. In fact, I'm close here. Let me remind you again of the example of Cain. Remember, Cain was told by God to control his anger. He was supposed to do right. Of course, Abel brought, verse 4, Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Notice the depression there. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And of course, we see in verse 8 that Cain murdered his own brother. But again, the power of addiction, leading to depression, and finally bondage. A loss of control to overcome the addiction. I want you to notice with me Judges, the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. I want you to notice here this cycle of bondage that Israel went through. Of course, God told Israel that they were to cast out all of the Canaanites, the wicked of the land, because if they did not, if they were allowed to stay in the land, put them under tribute and so on, that they would be a snare to them. Listen to that word, a snare to them. If we hang around those who have the addictions that we struggle with, they will be a snare to us by way of application. Now, notice verse 7. And the children of Israel did, Judges chapter 3, verse 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Now, groves were set up as a place of worship for Baal. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia. Now, you can try to say his name if you want to. Chushan Rish Athaim. All right, the king of Mesopotamia. I had to practice that this morning, so I could even say it that well. Nice long name. We'll just give him a short name, Chushan. Chushan, the king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan 8 years. Notice the bondage. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. But notice here, verse 12. The cycle repeats itself again. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. I want you to notice this cycle here. First of all, there's simple choices in verse 7. They sinfully chose things that were in violation of God's law. They knew what God had said. Then there's bondage in verse 8, bondage to the king of Mesopotamia. Then they cry out to God for deliverance in verses 9 and 10. God raises up a deliverer to them. It says in verse 11, then, the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. All right, so they lived in a time of victory. There's freedom and peace. But then they went right back into the cycle again after 40 years. Here's one of the things I've observed about myself and many that I've counseled with as far as addictions. You can go months and sometimes even years without the addiction. But all you have to do is make a simple choice once again, and you're right back into that addiction all over again. That's the bondage cycle. I want you to consider that there's a cycle that's related to this addiction, the cycle of bondage. Now, as far as hope for addictions, notice again this passage that I introduced to you last week, at the end of our lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I believe there is hope for overcoming addictions. And again, as I said last week, for the believer, it is a choice. We choose whether or not we are in bondage to an addiction. Now, let me just say, first of all, the hope for addictions is not a self-help program. It is not a self-help program. I'm not sure we're going to get to this passage today, but Paul says the things I want to do, I don't do. And so there's the bondage to self. But we're not talking about a self-help program because we all have a sinful flesh. The preacher, just as much as anyone else, has a sinful flesh. We have an old man, even as we are a new person in Christ. We still carry around this old sinful flesh. So we're not talking about self-help programs. We're not talking about support groups. People sitting around just talking about their addiction. We're not talking about a self-help program. We're also not talking about social programs. Our government is big on putting a lot of money into programs to try to help people. In fact, our own prison system, we have those who have served in prisons in one way or another. Our whole prison system does not deal with writing the person's character, but it's more confinement rather than character change. That's why we have such a revolving door, especially in the jails, the county jails of our country. We're not talking about government programs. Many of these programs treat symptoms and not the source of the addiction. They also emphasize information without transformation of life. And they use the disease model of recovery. We're not talking about a cure from a disease. We're talking about dealing with the sin issue. I want you to notice again 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and following. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now, fornicators has a Greek word, the root word, carries the idea of porn. Porneia. Notice, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, those who have a relationship outside of their marriage, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, those are sodomites, nor thieves. What do they call that? They call a thief that, you know, has an addiction to stealing? Was it a kleptomaniac? Alright, so there's an addiction to that. Neither thieves, nor covetous, notice, nor alcoholics. Is that what the Bible says? We change the words so that it doesn't sound as bad. What does the Bible call it? Drunkards. Notice, drunkards is included in this list. Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, notice again verse 11. I want you to notice the past tense here. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but notice here, but I will not be brought under the power of any. As I was doing some reading, I came across a while back a little pamphlet, a brief guide to Alcoholics Anonymous. I want you to understand the difference here. This is a statement from this pamphlet. As AA sees it, alcoholism is an illness. Alcoholics cannot control their drinking because they are ill in their bodies and in their minds or emotions. AA members say they are alcoholics today, even when they have not had a drink for many years. They do not say they are cured, but in AA they can become sober alcoholics, recovered alcoholics. Now, look at that in relation to this passage that we just read. Such are some of you. Is that what the Bible says? You're still a recovering drunkard. Is that what the Bible says? Such were, past tense, some of you. That's why we have to stop thinking as far as the addiction is concerned. We've got to go to the Bible for the answers. We have to see the difference. Notice there is hope in addiction. Now, I've not personally been to an AA meeting, but I've talked to many who have been. As they're struggling with 29 years of alcohol or drug addiction, one of the things they have said over and over again is this. A lot of times their meetings, they sit around and talk about their addiction. But not only that, but they replace one addiction for another. I've had people tell me over and over again at these AA meetings, they talk about their alcoholism, their disease, according to the world's thinking. And then at the break of their meeting, they go out and smoke on their cigarettes. They're still in addictions. Such were some of you. The Bible wants us to have deliverance as believers in Christ. Now, I want for us to consider here this morning some biblical answers for pulling down the stronghold of addictions. First of all, make sure of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's going to be 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Make sure of your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider that God wants to give us the power that we need to live a godly life. I want you to notice that here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and following. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His what? His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, except your addiction. Is that what the Bible says? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want you to notice what that's saying. As I place my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, there is a power that is given to me. In fact, Romans 1 talks about the power of the gospel unto salvation. But with that, it's more than just salvation. God empowers me to live the Christian life. That's why I say for the Christian, an addiction, any of those things, ultimately is a choice. Because God has set us free with His power. Now, I want you to think about the contrast of that. AA talks about a higher power. In the 12 steps, I cut this out here. In the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's absolutely nothing here about salvation. It talks about a higher power. There's no repentance of sin. Nobody acknowledging that it's drunkenness. Step number one. We admitted we're powerless over alcohol. Right? So that's the first step. I'm powerless. That our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power, generally speaking, greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. You know what the Bible calls that? A God of their own making. Do you understand that could mean Allah? That could mean some New Age Christ. Sometimes it even means self, as I've talked to those who have visited AA. Notice it's a God of their own making. Step number six talks about defects of character. Step number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. All right, so God as we understood Him. Does that mean they're going to sit around and meditate in some lotus position to some New Age God? I want you to understand that has no power whatsoever. Now, am I saying nobody has ever been helped with AA? I'm not saying that at all. There are many who have had some measure of deliverance. But do you realize they constantly, in their thinking, have the idea that I could go back into this sickness at any time? What kind of peace is that? Such were some of you. Do you know Christ as Savior? I believe that's the very first step. Notice with me John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I believe another statement or another aspect of deliverance for pulling down the stronghold of addictions is to continue in the truth of Jesus Christ. Continue in the truth of Jesus Christ. So after we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I believe Jesus tells us we must continue in that truth. Notice with me John chapter 8, verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, notice there's a conditional word, if. Anytime you see the word if in the Bible, it's a conditional word. If you're doing this, then this result will follow. If then, you read the Bible sometime, you'll see if then patterns in the reading of Scripture. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, truly a disciple of Christ. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Now, you notice the denial there? Who were they in bondage to at this time? Rome. They were already in bondage. We're Abraham's children. We've never been in bondage. They were in bondage at the time. Notice their denial of their bondage. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the bondslave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of the Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now, eventually he says, you have your father the devil. Verse 44. You notice here again, Jesus says, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? The truth will make you free. You have to come to the knowledge and continue in the truth. Number three, close doors of influence. If we're going to have victory, we must close the doors of influence. Notice it in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We were, for about 2 years, we were involved in a faith-based, is how they often refer to it, a faith-based addictions recovery ministry, Reformers Unanimous, based out of Rockford, Illinois. And one of the principles of RU was this: you cannot fight a temptation by indulging in it. You cannot fight a temptation by indulging in it. You think about some of the examples. You're trying to overcome alcohol. So you're going to go down to the bar and you're going to have a soda, right? I just want to go down and be with my buddies, you know, my old drinking buddies. I'm going to have a soda. I'm not going to drink. All you have to do is take one drink and you're back into the bondage. But you know how that often is worded? I'm going to have just one beer with my buddies. Oh, yeah, you may have one beer that time, but all of a sudden the viper has struck again. I'm going to hang around with my friends. I'll just have one cigarette with them. You'll be right back into that bondage all over again. Just one look at pornography, that's all. You're right back into the bondage all over again. What happened there? We leave the doors open of influence. I want you to notice that principle here in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 and following. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Garnished speaks of being decorated. Now, let's pause there before we look at verse 45. Often we rearrange our lives. We don't change or transform our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do a rearrangement here. Like I said earlier, we trade one addiction for another. You notice here again, the door is left open. Verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. We must close doors of influence. I do not believe we have to continue living in a disease mentality. Let me point out something with that. That disease mentality comes from psychology. And let me just say it this way. I do not believe there's any such thing as Christian psychology. Psychology deals with the psyche or the soul. I've done a lot of reading on this. Psychology deals with the psyche, our soul. It does not deal with the spiritual aspect of the addiction. I believe I've used this illustration before. If you were shot and you had a bullet inside of you, what do you want the doctor to do? Do you want the doctor to remove the deadly element or sew up the bullet hole? Psychology sews up the bullet hole, but doesn't deal with the source, the root of the matter. God wants us, I believe, to have deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of these biblical truths today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in victory in our lives. Thank you that we have the power of God in the moment of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live in that victory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.